Select Committee on, Select Subcommittee on Gaming Regulation will come to order. Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon.
Here.
Vice Chair Byrd.
Here.
Ranking Member Duran.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Hawkins.
Here.
Learned.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Roach.
Here.
Schlossberg.
Here.
Trunau.
Here.
Williams.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Lindsay. Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Before we begin, a few housekeeping reminders. I'll ask everyone to please remember to silence your electronic devices. Also, as a reminder for our members and speakers, please ensure that you turn on your microphone when you are speaking or voting and off when you are finished. Lastly, those wishing to testify, please complete an appearance form if you have not done so already and give it to a staff member. I want to welcome all the members to the Select Subcommittee on Gaming Regulation. I'd like to thank these members for serving on the subcommittee and for your attention to the matters that will be brought before us today. Vice Chairman Byrd, do you have any welcoming remarks that you'd like to do?
No, thank you, Chairman. It's nice to have the roles reversed, so look forward to the meeting.
Thank you, Rep. Byrd. Does Ranking Member Duran have any welcoming remarks?
Mr. Chair, I am just excited to be with you all, if it's just for a few short hours and a few short days.
Thank you, Representative Duran. This will probably be all of our shortest tenure ever on a committee, but we'll make the best of it. Our first, we have two bills today for consideration. Of course, our first bill will be House Bill 3A, Gaming Enforcement by Representative Rommel. And Representative Rommel, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, committee members. And thank you for being a little bit patient as we were doing a little last-minute house cleaning. This bill would create a new Florida Gaming Commission. So why does Florida need a gaming commission? Responsible regulation is central to gaming, and with other industries such regulated should be reviewed and updated regularly. Regulations of gaming and enforcement of laws against illegal gaming not only protect the public, but the integrity of the industry. And this will make a uniform gaming law enforcement also. So how would the gaming commission be appointed? It would be appointed by five members. The Commission of Gaming consists of five members, one of each appellate division, to be appointed by the governor starting January 1st, 2022. Of the five members, at least one member must have at least 10 years' experience in law enforcement and criminal investigation. At least one member must be a certified public licensed accountant in the state of at least 10 years' experience in accounting and auditing, and at least one member must be an attorney admitted and authorized to practice law in the state of Florida. Some of the restrictions. Persons ineligible to be appointed to the commission are anybody that holds public office in a political party. Within the previous 10 years has been convicted of a felony or pleaded guilty regardless of adjudication in jurisdiction of any felony and has been convicted or found guilty or pled guilty to any other felony. And that is the basis of the bill, sir.
Thank you, Representative Rommel. Before we go to questions, I've got a letter here I want to read, a memorandum from the speaker. It says, in accordance with Rule 7.7, I hereby appoint Majority Whip Charles Clemens as an ex officio voting member of the Select Subcommittee on Gaming Regulation for the May 17th, 2021 Subcommittee meeting. We'll now move into questions, if any members have any questions. Representative Schlossberg, you're welcome to ask a question.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Rommel. Can you explain why we're transferring, and some of the history, why we're transferring the powers from the DBPR to this Gaming Commission?
Recognize.
Thank you, Chairman and Representative. That's a great question, especially since, you know, I am normally the deregulation person. You know, DBPR is in charge of the enforcement and the regulation of every licensed individual in the state of Florida, from barber to anybody that has a license. And as gaming grows, which it's growing, whether we like it or not, I mean, people are gaming, and there's multiple times of, you know, gaming, whether it's high-lie, you know, harness racing, casinos, you know, card games. We need a tighter grip on it as it grows. We want to make sure that our citizens, when they go to any gaming facility, that they know it's going to be the same rules, same regulations, same law enforcement everywhere. And it, you know, and it helps. And not saying that we have a problem with crime now, but it makes sure it's more uniform. And honestly, you know, DBPR is definitely gaming has outgrown DBPR. Imagine, you know, you have one secretary of DBPR that's in charge of every licensing. There's no way they can be an expert. This will allow the governor to appoint people that are experts in your field, so we'll have a better understanding of what's going on.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. So we know that the 2010 compact, they weren't, the Seminole Tribe wasn't paying under the 2010 Seminole compact because they claimed a lack of enforcement. Is this contemplated? Is there more enforcement measures into this gaming commission and to ensure that something like that does not happen again?
You're recognized, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman. And another great question. And yes, because now we'll have uniformity enforcement in every county and every municipality. Previously, you would see a local sheriff interpret a law or rule a different way. So we'll have uniformity in every county. So yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Also, so under the compact, there's the provisions of the compact state that the only time online sports betting would be allowable through the Indian tribe and in the Indian servers. Is this commission going to be going after people who pick up their phone and they look online, they see an online sports betting and they don't know how they might not know or may not be aware that the only types of online casino betting would be that are legal are through the servers of the Indian tribes. So is this contemplated by this bill, how this could be enforced?
Right, Rommel.
Thank you, Chairman. The way I understand this bill, this is for the enforcement of the licensed casino operators, not individuals that may by accident break the law.
Representative Duran, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank Rep. Rommel for being here and presenting. I had a question related to with this commission and the new sort of structure. If somebody wants to initiate a complaint against, say, a paramutual or anyone off-site, not the Seminole Tribe, they may be able to kind of walk me through what that initiate. Is there like an investigation? Maybe it's someone has violated some of the rules or provisions. Can you kind of give me an idea what these new investigation and the process looks like?
Representative Rommel, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. They'll just be more uniform now. I mean, any citizen or any other business currently can file a complaint with DBPR and make allegations of a complaint of a wrongdoing, and DBPR will at times enforce it and investigate, other times won't. But here we'll have clearly defined measures for the Gaming Commission to follow those.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I think the other is, do we know if we can do that? I guess you can do that with our paramutuals, but that is not vice versa, right? Like, we cannot initiate a complaint if, say, somebody wanted to go to a tribe, what's going on in a tribal land. There's no teeth or there's no ability to do that kind of investigation, right?
Senator Rommel?
Thank you, Chairman. I would say yes and no. It's kind of, you know, the tribal land is not in the state of Florida. It's not in the United States. It's its own sovereign territory. It was just like if somebody of American citizen went to Canada and had a complaint about a business, we could call up the authorities there and say, we have a complaint. There was harm done. There was a crime done. You know, maybe some real harm was done. Could you help us? And they would have to cooperate with us. But again, the compact has different language that ties them to openly negotiate with us. And, you know, and I would say, I think the word that they used there was in good faith estimate, okay, that they would cooperate with us. But honestly, we have no authority to go on their land to do anything.
Follow up really quick.
Recognize Representative Duran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, one other clarification I wanted to get out of this was the language. Does it speak to, I know some of the reasons why we're creating this is because we didn't have an organization, an agency that had the ability to really fully investigate and ensure that we're compliant and that our organizations across the state are compliant with what our gaming regulations are. and some of it, you know, is because of what had happened with our previous compact that was in place. Some would say some of the designated player games were an issue that had been that had arisen and kind of created the mechanism for which we no longer receive some of the revenues from that compact. Do you know if this has any retroactive ability? So if somebody is doing designated player games or anything like that, that we can't go back and is that tinker with that in any way?
I recognize Representative Rommel.
Thank you, Chairman. No.
Representative Roach, do you have a question? Recognize.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Chair Rommel. I kind of wanted to just touch on Representative Duran's question on the complaints. And my understanding of the bill, and please correct me if I don't understand it, is that under the bill that the tribe can file complaints against the paramutual facilities, but that the paramutual facilities cannot file complaints against the tribe. And that seems to be a fundamental fairness issue. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I have to get some clarity from staff right now. But you have to remember, any individual business or individual person can file a complaint against anybody. And I would imagine that anybody could file complaints against the tribe. But I'm not sure, besides negotiating in good faith, if there was harm done or there was a violation, you know, what, you know, the hammer we actually have.
Representative Learned, did you have a question? You're recognized.
I do, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a short series, if that's okay, and I'll come through you. Thank you, Representative, for the bill. I know this is a lot for a relatively quick meeting. I want to direct you to line 217. This pertains to the governor's prerogative to appoint members to the commission, and it includes the word may. The governor may remove a member who is convicted of or found fraud as it relates to gaming. And I'm curious why we chose the word, why we're letting the governor have a choice in removing somebody who committed fraud as it pertains to gaming instead of shall removing somebody who committed fraud.
Chairman, thank you. Line 217, just give me a second to catch up to that. You know what, I'll clarify with staff. I would for my comfort, if they were convicted of fraud when it related to gaming, I would say they should be removed. But, you know, fraud is such a, you know, broad term in, you know, criminal doings or civil doings. So I think you could have fraud in civil doings that could have happened 10 years ago that probably had nothing to do with gaming. But staff will look at that and we'll get that clarified.
Thank you.
Do you have another follow-up?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, happy. Would love to chat with you about that before its next committee stop, if possible. My next question, and this is probably more clarification for my own sake, around line 298, we're talking about commissioners and investigators being employed by the division are allowed to enter premises at which gaming activities are taking place. And my question is simply, does that give them authority to enter tribal land for the same purpose?
Rep. Rowell.
Thank you. That's another great question. And no, we actually have no broad authority to enter another nation.
Follow, Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
Same with line 303. Any such officers have the authority without a warrant to search and inspect any premises where the violation is alleged to have occurred. My question is simply, and this, I understand based on your last question that this is offside tribal land. We're talking about, you know, paramutual wagering, bingo halls, things like that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm probably the only person who's not a lawyer here. Is there any precedent for being able to search without a warrant?
Representative Rum.
Thank you, Chairman, and thanks for the question. And again, not being a lawyer or a law enforcement official. And again, if you're talking about tribal land, we never have the authority to go on some sovereign nation's property without permission from them. But if law enforcement knew of a pending harm was coming on any private property, they have the ability to go there without a warrant.
Follow, Mr. Chairman.
Recognize.
Same with, okay. And thank you for that. I appreciate it. Line 353. Ensure that the laws of this pertains to the committee's responsibilities. Ensure that the laws of the state are not interpreted in any manner that expands the activities. And I'm, again, just kind of like to the scope of what this committee does. Isn't that the role of the judiciary and the judges to interpret the laws? Like, are we creating a semi-judicial process here? These are the investigators, not the people tasked with interpreting the laws. Is that correct? Can you just help me elaborate on that?
Representative Rommel.
Thank you again. Not being a legal scholar on civil matters, I'd have to refer to staff and get their interpretation. And if you want to meet, we can definitely meet offline with staff.
Okay. And one last question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And this is just procedural, and I'm hoping you can just help me understand this. So there's a couple bills as it pertains to the compact, as I understand them, that require a 61 vote majority to pass. And then there's a few that require a two-thirds majority. And, Mr. Chairman, you'll have to indulge me because I know this is outside the scope of this one in particular. If we pass the compact on a 61-vote majority and then fail to implement the compact on a two-thirds majority, are we the state in violation so that the tribe would have cause to not pay in the same way that they're not paying now?
Definitely above my legal scholar pay, but I think the smartest man in the room is conversing with the chairman right now.
You don't. It's a one bill. You don't have to pass this to pass the compact.
Okay.
And I'll recommend Representative Fine to expand upon that.
Thank you, and I'm just here to be helpful. You don't have to pass. The compact does not require the passage of this bill. It's a separate issue, and there will only be one vote up or down on the compact. That's HB1A, which is going on downstairs on the first floor. We could do this without passing the compact. We could do the compact without doing this.
Thank you.
You good? Representative Williams, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you just give me additional information about filing of a complaint? You say that we don't have the authority, or we didn't have the authority, to go on other man's land. But if they can file a complaint and we receive the complaint, what kind of teeth will this put into that? What will benefit that from happening again?
Representative Rommel.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative. I think the problem with the Indians was that DBPR didn't enforce some of the rules that we had for our paramutuals and our private businesses, not on tribal land, and allowed them to operate some of the bank games. And I think that's why the Indians refused to pay and then actually won in court based on a violation of the contract.
You're recognized.
Okay, and what will prevent that from happening with this bill that we have on table?
Representative Rommel.
It's exactly why we need this bill. DBPR, again, was overseeing every single licensed individual in the state of Florida, and they, whether they didn't have the means or the will to concentrate on gaming, which is a giant industry. Here we're going to have a gaming commission that's going to concentrate on gaming and law enforcement, and they're going to do it based on what's in the bill and the governor and the legislator's oversight.
You recognize.
Okay, when we speak about the members that will be assigned to do that, what does that look like?
Representative Rom, you recognize.
Thank you. Could you clarify what you mean by members?
Early on, we spoke about members of the committee.
Thank you. It's five members, and the clarifications were those three things. One had to be an attorney, one to have law enforcement experience, and one had to have a county experience, and the other two could be at large.
You recognize?
And they are chosen by, how are they chosen? Who choose them?
Thank you. Master. They're chosen by the governor.
You good?
Not so much good, because I'm looking at it in a different manner, and discussing it with the bill sponsor is like, sometimes we put the person in charge to file the complaint behind the person that should be taking the complaint. But I'm okay for right now.
No more questions. Representative Trunow, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. Currently, you know, DBPR and now the Gaming Commission could be the oversight of of legal gaming in Florida. Does the Seminole Tribe provide the same level of services to handle the same things that DVPR or Gaming Commission would provide for handling issues on tribal lands?
Representative Rommel.
Thank you, Chairman. The Seminole Tribe does have their own Seminole Gaming Commission, and what their rules and regulations are, their rules and regulations, and we have no authority.
Representative Trunow?
Those rules are not like something that we can look at or understand so that we have so we know how things go moving forward, equally fair and balanced.
Representative Rommel?
Thank you, Chairman. As a state, we have, and I think you're going to get a better explanation, we have gaming rules that applies to everybody in the state of Florida, but we don't have the authority to go on their tribal land to see, you know, their enforcement mechanisms. We do, again, in the language of the compact, which has nothing to do with this bill, there is language about good faith efforts to, you know, comply, and but again, that has nothing to do with this bill.
Thank you. Representative Fine, there seems to be a little bit of confusion about what we can and can't do with the compact and going on property. Could you elaborate, please?
Yeah, sure. So I understand that this is very confusing, but here's the way it works. Indian nations under federal law have the obligation and the right to regulate themselves. You have to think of the Seminole Nation literally as Mexico or Canada or the Bahamas. And they are a sovereign nation. And in federal Indian gaming law, they regulate themselves. We cannot, it's not a policy option available to us to regulate them. They do have a gaming commission, and they regulate themselves. And, you know, while one could say, is that really a great thing, that's how it works. There's a Seminole Gaming Commission, and then they have the business operation, and they regulate themselves. We can't regulate them. What this does is this increases the regulation on gambling that happens in Florida, which is not what happens on the Seminole Tribe is not happening theoretically in Florida. And so I think that's something that's important for folks to keep in mind. As it relates to them being able to file complaints, anyone can file a complaint. Anyone. So they can file a complaint, but so can everybody else. They don't get any advantageous position in filing a complaint. But as it comes, by the way, Native American tribes have their own judicial system. They have their own police. They have their own judges. They have their own jails. They operate as a sovereign nation, and they have all of those things. And this is just something that is you can thank the feds for this back in 1988 for setting this up this way. But that is the deal. This Representative Rommel's bill, Chair Rommel's bill, will not regulate Indian gaming. This is about how we regulate the paramutuals and the other forms of gaming in the state of Florida.
Any more questions? Okay, seeing no more questions, we are now on public testimony. I don't have any sheets, and to make sure I don't skip over anyone, is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify? Okay, seeing none, we are now in debate. Members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate? I will say this, from a law enforcement perspective, this DBPR has no law enforcement authority. They have administrative authority. This will create under the commission, a new law enforcement agency that can specialize in gambling. I can tell you from 67 counties and 67 sheriffs and I don't know how many police departments in Florida, everybody has a different view and a different opinion. I know in my district back home, we have five counties, and some have internet cafes because the sheriff in that county doesn't, or the state attorney doesn't think they can enforce anything about that. In other counties, they do. So this will give some uniformity to the law enforcement part of it, and we can have a specialized agency who can focus, as their only focus, on law enforcement. And that is something that currently DPPR does not have the ability to do. Representative Learned?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And since nobody else wants to debate, I guess I'll say one thing. and that is simply just to follow up on the question. I just want to make this point. I mean, if we're allowing the governor's office to decide if somebody should be regulating gaming who committed fraud. I just fundamentally don't think we should do that. I think we can say definitively, we just change that word to shall, and we say that if you committed fraud, you shall not be on this committee. And I think that's a pretty reasonable amendment. We can work overnight and get this in its next committee stop.
Representative Beltran, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Chairman Rommel, for this bill. I'm going to say this. I've got some concerns about the compact. I'm going to vote for this bill today because if we do this compact, then I do want there to be regulation so that we do not have the problems that we've had in the past. There have been some concerns, I suppose, raised about due process for the parimutuels or whoever else might be subject to enforcement. If that becomes a problem, then I suppose we'll be back here in a regular session and we can address that then. But I'll be up today. Thank you.
Seeing no more members, Representative Rommel, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you. And members, you know, I've learned so much more about gaming in the last, say, week than I probably really ever wanted to learn. And, you know, gaming around the nation is so complex because of the laws that were passed on the federal government, you know, I think Chair Fine said in 1988, and which made it super complex. And we actually have to give tribal casinos an advantage. We need to give them an advantage based on federal government's law. We need to make sure that they're going to survive. And then in Florida, even more complex, when Amendment 3 was passed, that said gaming cannot expand in the state of Florida unless the citizens vote on it. So if in Fort Myers somebody wanted to open a casino, somebody in the panhandle would have to vote on it. And then, you know, a lot of folks talk about the revenue that we've been missing in the state of Florida for the last 3 or 4 years and the revenue that we're going to get. To me, the revenue is actually the least important part. It's actually the least important part so that we can have uniformity in the 67 counties here so that we don't get back into this pickle again where DBPR, in my opinion, I'm sorry, they didn't do their job. That's why we lost that revenue. They didn't do their job. They allowed people to operate illegally, and the Seminole Indians sued us and won. And there's still a contingent liability about there about the damage that was done to them and the harm that was done to them. So this fixes it all. This forms uniformity, not just protecting the agreements between the tribe and the state, but every individual business that decides to have a license to invest their capital here. It also protects consumers. It makes sure that when a gaming hall or these internet cafes or something causes harm, we have the ability to close them down. And we know that every county now will have uniformity and protecting our citizens. So, you know, revenue is obviously important because we need revenue to operate the state. And gaming is coming, whether we want it or not. It's coming, and it's better to be on the right side so we have uniform regulation that applies to all, and we can control it and make sure we don't get back in this situation. And if there is an overreach, we're on a private business. I will stand in front of a private business in front of, because they're Floridians in front of, and no disrespect to the tribe, over the tribe any day. So if we went too far and the regulation's too severe, I'll correct it. And with that, I close.
Representative Rommel, having just closed on the bill, Lindsay, please call the roll.
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Duran?
No.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Learned?
No.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
No.
Trunow?
Yes.
Williams?
No.
Clemens?
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Our next bill is House Bill 5A, Public Records and Meetings, Florida Gaming Control Commission, by Representative Rommel. You are now recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a simple public records exemption. If a licensed casino or gaming holder is under any type of criminal investigation, that record is kept private until a charge is levied And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Rommel. Members, are there any questions on his second bill? Representative Learning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I, just to follow up on my question on the last bill, and I think I just asked it on the wrong one, if I'm being candid. So this is one of the votes that requires a two-thirds majority. And my question is, if we pass the compact on a 50-vote majority and then fail to implement it with one of these two-third majority votes, do we then default on our position, giving the tribe cause to not make their payments, similar to the way we are now, where the state's losing hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue?
Thank you, Chairman. I'll take my best shot at it. I would think that the tribe, if they're investigated, they're already exempt from public records because they're a different nation. But I believe that this bill will actually help protect our private businesses if somebody has an allegation against them until we find out that there's actually criminal activity where a charge is placed. So if the tribe actually had an allegation against a private business and the Gaming Commission investigate a criminal activity, it's held from public until there's either a charge, you know, a criminal charge placed.
Anybody else? Seeing no more questions, we are now into public testimony. Anybody in the audience? Seeing no public testimony, we're now on debate. Any members wishing to debate? Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to make one point in response to Representative Learned's discussion of the prospect that we might pass a compact or we might pass the commission and then not pass a public record exemption. There was a situation a couple weeks ago on the floor. We had a similar situation. I know maybe some folks thought that was amusing, but what you're really saying when having passed a substantive bill and you vote against the public records exemption, what you're really saying is knowing that we're going to implement this policy, we want to handicap both our law enforcement and possibly innocent persons who are subject to investigation, damage their reputation, undermine law enforcement by bringing an investigation to light and perhaps causing any wrongdoer to cover up their activity knowing that they're investigated. That's not good public policy. So even if you are down on the compact, as I may be, and even down on the commission, I would hope you would support the public record exemption because that would certainly cause a lot of trouble with gaming enforcement. I think we all agree we need some sort of enforcement of our gaming regulations, whatever they may come to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beltran. Representative Hawkins, do you have a question or debate? Anybody else in debate? Representative Learned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on that, and you know, Representative Beltran, your point is well taken. I don't disagree with you. I guess where I was going with that question, and just to shed a little more light on it, I'm going to be up on the public records exemption, I agree with that as it pertains to the investigative part. You know, I think what I was getting at, and I think we should all be mindful of this, right? Is we the state, we the legislature defaulted on our end of the bargain because of something we did procedurally that cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars. And what I want to make sure doesn't happen in doing this is we're providing another avenue for which we will have defaulted on our end of the bargain and cost the taxpayer, expand gaming in a way that is unpopular, as you know, we all know, with Amendment 3 and passing overwhelmingly, and then also lose out on the revenue and some of the benefits from that tough vote because we didn't get the two-thirds majority we needed. And I guess my question, and I think that maybe this is a two, maybe this is on one of the other implementing bills, is just making sure that we go in eyes open to what we're doing so that we don't set ourselves up to default on the compact.
Anybody else in debate? All right, seeing no one else, Representative Rommel, you are recognized to close on your bill.
With the co-close from Representative Beltran and Lerner, I waive close.
Thank you. Having closed on the bill, Lindsay, will you please call the roll?
Chair Brannon?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Learned?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Clemens?
Thank you, Lindsay. Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Members, if there is no other further business which may be properly presented, and I don't see any, this will conclude our agenda for today's meeting. And Representative Rizzo moves we rizzo. Thank you.